Good morning, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy 2016. Yeah, you made it. 2016, huh? You know, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm an educator. What's great about being an educator is that you get 2 weeks off in the winter, right? So I've been off for 2 weeks, go back on Monday, back to school. So it's given me a lot of time to think about things. And when I told my, because I actually talked to my wife, Jelena, and told her, hey, I think I'm going to preach about this. And, you know, I was getting to him with my son. He calls me he started calling me when he was a little big guy. Now he calls me the old man. So I've changed roles, right? But as old man, quote unquote, I like to refer to us as mature people, not too much into technology, right? We didn't grow up with it. We had to kind of learn it on the go. But when I told Jelena about it, my wife, she was like, you're going to be bragging about yourself? I said, no, I'm just going to tell my story, right? Because I've never told my story before, ever, to anybody, right? And I think when people know your story, they understand you at a deeper level, right? Because the only way you can know someone is if you know their story, right? If you don't know their story, you're like, well, I know their name, but I don't really know their story, so... I'm going to share some of that with you today. So, what's my story? You know, one of the things that I do now as an administrator at a school is that I interview people for certain positions, and the first thing we ask them is, what's your story? Why are you here? Why do you want this job, right? So this is my story right here, guys. You can see that flag up there is a Puerto Rican flag. Okay. I was born in Caguas, Puerto Rico, okay? So that little frog you see up there is called a coqui. Coqui, because at night it makes that noise. Coqui, coqui. So they gave him that name, and initially it would only live in Puerto Rico. It would not survive in Puerto Rico. If you took the coqui and brought him to the United States, it would automatically die. He couldn't survive, okay? And if you see on the right-hand side over there, that's more or less where my grandmother used to live. And you can see there's some stairs going up. I mean, that thing is just way up there. I still remember that she had an avocado tree, and she would have us sell avocados. So we would go up the stairs, and we would be yelling, you know, avocados for sale, avocados. I still remember that as a little kid. Okay, so I was born in Caguas, Puerto Rico on Tuesday, August 15, 1961. At 10:30 in the morning. And my twin sister was born at 10:35. So I am a twin. Unfortunately, my sister, we didn't live in the city, we lived in the country. And my sister, when she was about 6 months or so, she got sick. Like we have, you know, the flu season. So people throw up, So she started throwing up. And finally, my mom decided to take her to the hospital, and unfortunately, she died on the way to the hospital in my mom's arms. I never got to know too much about her, because every time I would bring it up to my mom, ask her, what was she like? Well, she would tell me a little bit, but she wouldn't tell me too much, because even as old as she was, it would still cause her to break down and cry, right? Because for a loved one of yours to die in your arms, especially a baby, a very traumatic experience, right, stays with you. But I am a twin. I know Jelena, I always tell her we're going to have twins, but she says that's too late now. So, too old. But here are my brothers, the middle ones right here. I'm the one in the middle. The little one is my brother George, and the big one is my brother Lou, who's been to church a few times. I don't know if you guys met him, but... What's interesting about us is that we grew up pretty much without a father, right? But when we were in Puerto Rico and our dad used to take us out on occasion, each of us had a different strategy. Joseph was talking about, I want that, that, and that. And so he would take us out and we would want things, right? So my brother Lou, my oldest brother, his strategy, he would just shut down. He wouldn't walk. He was just like, come on. He wouldn't walk. He would just shut down. My little brother has the best strategy, according to my father. He would say, Dad, whenever you have money, you're going to buy for me, aren't you? My dad said, yes, I will, of course. And then my strategy was, I would cry. I'm a crier, right? I would just cry and cry. But when my dad went for his belt, all of a sudden, my crying would stop, right? So those were our strategies. Each one of us tried different things to see if we could get what we wanted. But if you look on the right, on your left-hand side here, that's how I remember more or less where I grew up. In Spanish, it's called el caserío. Pretty much what it is, it's a housing project, right? One thing I can say is I witnessed as a young man, a man getting stabbed to death in front of my eyes. And it was for a dumb reason. But I saw it happen. I couldn't believe it. But we used to live in El Caserío, a housing project in Puerto Rico. And I don't know if I told you guys the story, but from that balcony up there, I fell head first. I did. Because you can see all the toys that are out here today. Our toys were bugs, lizards, frogs. Those were our toys. So there was a lizard by the window, and I started reaching for the lizard, right, on the balcony. I started reaching for it. I lost my balance. I fell head first, right? So I should be dead, really, but what happened was there was a railing on the first floor balcony, and when I fell head first, my legs were bent. So my legs landed on that railing, and my head was about a few inches off the ground. I was able to survive that. And at the time, the only thing I was thinking about was, I hope my mom doesn't find out, because she does. She's going to kill me. I think I'm in pain now, right? So we had some good times there. And again, we saw the picture of where my grandmother pretty much lived. So in January 1971, we decided to move to Chicago. Looks nice, huh? That's probably how it looks now, right? And the reason why I moved there is because my mom, she got Parkinson's when she was very young. And in Puerto Rico, the health field is not the best in the world. They couldn't find out what she had. My older sister lived in Chicago, and she said, I'll bring you guys over. And that's where they diagnosed her with Parkinson's. We didn't even know she had Parkinson's. All we knew is that she couldn't function very well. Her head would go backwards. So I still remember as a kid walking behind her, holding her head up so she can see where she was going. Okay, and then 1971, we came to Chicago, and they found out she had Parkinson's. So these are my elementary school years, guys. I look handsome, don't I? Just kidding. So the one on the left is when I was 10 years old, then elementary school. The one on the bottom is when I graduated from 8th grade. I got a nice white bow tie. I got a different hairstyle there. And then on the right, my mom, my little sister, and us three. So it was four of us. And I do have three other sisters. But they have a different dad. So they grew up in Indiana. So there's seven of us, eight if we count my sister that died. So Clemente High School was probably my best year. Like I tell my kids, the high school were my best years because that's when I joined the football team. I'm number 51 right there, right? So I look fit just like I did then, right? Not quite. But that's what kind of turned my life around because everybody in my family dropped out of high school except for me because I joined the football team and I had to keep my grades up. One thing I learned through school was that since I grew up without a dad, I was always looking for male role models. That's why I always say, Satan's very astute, right? So he's trying to take men out of his position, right, where he should God ordain man to be in that position, right? And Satan wants to take man out of that position, right? But I always grew up without that, so I was looking always for a male role model, and I found it on the football team. The left-hand picture there, the coach next to me is Mr. Miller. He's the one that motivated me. And the interesting thing is, I wasn't able to tell him that. I wasn't able to go tell Mr. Miller, thank you so much for saving my life, right? Because he really saved my life in that sense, in the worldly sense, because I was going to drop out of high school. But he's the one that said, no, Marcano, come on, get your grades up. We need you on this team. And I was able to make it through high school, and that motivated me to keep going, right? And so high school were probably my best years. As you can see up there, I graduated, and that's my mom there next to me. Then I went into Wright College, graduated from there. I have my brother George, my mom, my oldest sister Miriam, and then my oldest brother Lou. Then in May 1987, I graduated from the University of Illinois at Chicago. Okay, as you can see right there, that's where I kind of ran into Jelena, right? She's in the picture. She caught me just in time before I moved on. And then here, about a year later, June 19th, 1988, Jelena and I got married. And this is one of our things that we thought about to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And that's biblical, right? Till death do us part. And then our babies came. The one on the left is Joseph. The one on the right is Jaleesa when they were babies. And they still look the same, right? Yeah. 1996, we decided to move over here because I grew up in inner city Chicago. People say, where are you from? I say, Chicago. What part? I say, inner city. Well, I'm from Melrose Park. Or I'm from Rockford. I say, that's not Chicago. That's a suburb. Chicago, inner city. That's where I grew up. So I wanted something better for my kids. And sometimes kids, and I didn't even understand it till I got older, the sacrifices that parents make for their kids. The sacrifices that my mom made for me. Because she always would tell me, you know, I couldn't give you anything. You know, we grew up on welfare. I couldn't give you anything. You know? I said, Mom, you gave me more than you can imagine. You gave me faith. You passed down your faith to me. Right? And so here we came to Arizona. That's when we went to the Grand Canyon. And on the right, on the left side, or on the right side to you, again, that's my mom when she came to Arizona. All right. So there's my story, guys. Good? Interesting? Yeah? The only thing with that is, if that will be the end of my story, what's the point, right? What's the point of living in this earth and going through all that, right? Should that be my story? Should that be what I'm telling people about? There's a song that, you know, there's some songs that kind of touch your heart. And this is a song that touched my heart. I always say, you know, I'm not a singer. You know, Tongans, they got great voices. I'm more of a shower singer, right? I am. I sound great in the shower. But you know, one thing I learned, and even Joseph, it's amazing how God works. Because it's not about that, it's about this, right? It's about the heart. God knows our heart, right? I'd rather have somebody come up here and sing from their heart, right? With a message from the heart. Because we can bring, who's the best singer you can think of? Whitney Houston up here and sing, right? And say, wow, she's got a great voice. Oh, she's amazing, right? But it's not about that, right? It's about praising God and giving your heart to Him. Amen? And so when we have children come up here and sing, and they don't have the greatest voice, we're like, oh, it's so cute. It's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because they sang it from their heart. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. So that's one thing that I think about. I sing from my heart. I might not be the greatest singer, but... You guys hear the music? Yes? Okay. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life he wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Oh, when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For the grace that is greater than all my sins, of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all my sins, of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So is that my story? Or should this be my story? 1 Peter 4:11. So I'm gonna read the light print. If you guys can read the bold. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This should be our story. Amen. Amen. This should be our story. So if I told you my story, it would include hope that would not let go. You see in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. And again, I'll read the fine print if you guys can read the bold. Even youths and young men, but will renew their strength, they will soar on wings They will run. They will walk. Amen. So even the young can stumble and fall. Even the young grow weary. But our hope is in the Lord. Amen. The hope is not in my education. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is not in my acquired possessions. My hope is where? In the Lord. That should be our story, right? We should be telling people about the hope that we have. Amen? Because we're going to soar like eagles. You know, on the Sabbath school lesson, we're talking about making it to heaven, right? But one thing I think about is, yeah, we're going to go to heaven by God's grace. But we're only going to be there for how long? 1,000 years. Then we're going to come back over here, right? Everything's going to be made new. Amen? That's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. That's our hope. It says, we will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will not faint. Is that a great hope? Should that be our story? Telling people of our hope? Amen. So if I told you my story, it would include love that never gave up. Romans 8, 37 through 39. So if I can read again, fine print. You guys read bold. No, in? We are? Through him who loved us. For? That neither death nor life, neither angels nor? Neither the present nor? Nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in? Will be able to separate us from? That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So if we tell our story, we should be telling about that love, right? It doesn't say in some things. It says in what? In all things. We are more than conquerors. I mean, if you conquer something, right, you take possession of it. But this says that we are more than conquerors. Because in this world, people will conquer. But in this world, people are not going to give you more than conquering. They can't do more. That's why we say when you come to Christ, he's going to give you more. He's going to give you more. If you're happy where you're at, that's okay. That's your choice. But if you want more, then you come to Christ. Yes. Amen? Because he's going to give you more than this world could ever provide. For I am convinced. You have to be convinced. Right? You have to be. We talked about the crisis in heaven this morning, Sabbath school. And we know there are demons, right? Fallen angels, right? In this world. We understand that. But they can't take the love of Christ from us. They can't. They can tempt us. They can do different things. They cannot take this love, this unfailing love that God has for us. And I don't care what's happening now. It's going to happen in the future. No power, right? Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen? When you understand that to the extent that we can understand it, that should be our story. Amen? Talking to people about the love of Christ. And one thing we talked about today in the lesson, I was listening, you know, well, I can't be perfect. That's true. But we can reflect. Right? What's an image? Because we're created in God's image, right? What's an image? Likeness, right? Like Joseph, he's an, you know, pretty close to Jalisa. They're created in my image, Jalen and I's, right? They look like us, right? But we're not going to be Christ. We can't be in that position, right? But we can be like Christ, right? In our character. We can't. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, right? Through Christ who strengthens me. So when people say, I can't do it, it's just too much. It's in me, right? It's something I grew up with, right? No. Because the Bible says you're going to be transformed, right? And young people know about the transformers, right? They change, right? They go from being a robot to being a car. We're like, how does that happen? Because they got transformed, right? And when you get transformed, you're not the same. Not the same that you used to be. I always tell people, you know, I do not like to talk in front of people. We know that's the number one phobia, right? talking in front of people, public speaking, right? I know that when people used to come visit our house, we used to hide in the closet. I don't talk to anybody. We don't want to say anything, right? I never think I would be up here talking to people, right? But when you're transformed and the love that God puts in you, right, motivates you, right? That's why it says, for the love of God compels you, right? It compels you to do things that you normally would not do, right? Because normally what you want to do as a human being is you want to fit in. Especially young people, I want to fit in. I don't want to stand out. I want to fit in, right? But we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're different just because of who we are, right? And this love that we have, God has put in us, okay, that should be our story. Amen? The fact that we made it through another year of life, if that's not love, I don't know what can, because I know God is watching, right, what's going on in this world, and this world's not getting better, is it? It's not. You look at all the atrocities that are going on, you know, spend a minute listening to the news, you're like, I can't believe this is happening. But it is, right? It is. So if I told you my story, it would include life that wasn't mine. Because people say, especially young people, and I've said it in my time, hey, it's my life. I do what I want. You heard that before? It's my life. I can do what I want. I can go wherever I want. I can do what I want. I can make the choices I want. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20, what does it say? Okay, so we have been what? Crucified with Christ. Okay, did Christ die on the cross? Yeah. We should be dying daily, right, to self. It's not our life. It's the life that God, Jesus, has given us, right? Amen? And, you know, dying is not easy. You know, as I've gotten more mature, I'm going to say older, but more mature, I've run into certain things, health-wise, you know. Gotten a few times in the middle of the night, couldn't breathe. And I was like, man, that never happened to me when I was young, right? And, like, my temples, they swelled up a little bit, and I was like, what the heck is going on? So I went to the doctor, and I might think it was, okay, maybe it's a disease or something that I have, right? I'm going to die soon, right? As you start getting more mature, you start thinking about death, right? What have you accomplished in this life, right? Young people don't think about those things. They just think about the present, right? Maybe a little bit into the future, but we think about our past because we do have a past, right? All the things we've gone through, right? But to die is hard. It's hard to die to self, okay? But we need to do it daily, right? I like what Veronica said, you know, as soon as you get up in the morning, you should be, or is it Matilla, somebody said it, that you should be, you know, worshiping God as soon as you get up, right? Thanking him and, you know, putting your day into his hands, right? It's not my life, Lord, it's your life that you put in me. So if I told my story, we include victory over the enemy. Who's our enemy? Satan, right? Yeah, exactly. He's the enemy, right? And one of the things that, if you read the Great Controversy, it talks about Satan, that when Jesus comes, right? And people say, well, couldn't Satan change his mind? Couldn't he? But we know that as we read the Spirit of Prophecy, it says that he was given multiple opportunities. Multiple opportunities. Jesus went up to him, hey, come on, Lucifer, think it through, man. Think it through. Don't do it. God is love, right? He tried to convince him. Angels tried to convince him, right? But he wouldn't change, right? He's gotten to the point of no return, right? Just like the Bible says, there's a sin, they're unforgiven of sin, which is the what? Rejection, right? Reject the Holy Spirit is unforgivable because there's no way. The only way we can make it to heaven is if we have forgiveness for our sins. Amen? Because Veronica brings up some good points. She said, you know, Satan is going to make it to heaven. Right? That's one of her questions. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to be sinners. Are we? No, we're not. We'll conquer that, right? Through Jesus' blood. Amen? Amen. So let's read Colossians 2, 13, 15. Again, I'll read the fine print. You guys read the bold. It says, when you were and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you. He forgave us, having the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to the cross, and having the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them by the cross. So Jesus had victory, right? He conquered death. He rose on the third day. I know that people make a big deal out of the cross, right? And Jesus on the cross. When somebody gave me a cross and I have it on my keychain, and the reason I have it on my keychain is because of the symbolism that he represents. But on that cross, there is no Jesus. There isn't. It's just a cross. Because my Savior is what? He's risen. He's alive. He's no longer on that cross, right? It's a symbol of death, right? He died where we should have died, right? But he conquered death. We're made alive with Christ. That's why the Bible says, if you don't have Christ, you don't have God, you don't have life. Because life comes through God. You know, we talked about a little bit about Garden of Eden, I believe. And one of the things that happened in the Garden of Eden, as you know, that God spoke, and it was so, right? But when we came to man, what did he do? He what? Yeah, he formed them with his own hands, right? He took some dirt, right? Made them, right? Oh, yeah, there it is. But like the brother said, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now think about it right now. Look around you. How many people would you breathe into their nose right now? Huh? But God did that for us, right? As I think about it, I'll do it for my wife, I do it for my kids, you know. But after that, it's going to be kind of hard to get my nose or my mouth in somebody's nose, right? But God loved us so much because he was making a point. You know what? We're going to have an intimate relationship. You only do that with intimate people, right? You don't do that with everybody. God got on his knees, right? Jesus got on his knees and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's about having an intimate relationship. He disarmed, took away their power, right? You know, one thing that I experienced growing up was inner city Chicago, there's a lot of gangs, right? It's not like here. I work in inner city Phoenix, and I look at that, I'm like, this is nothing. The kids there are like, yeah, this is tough. I said, this is nothing. Because in Chicago, and you go through the wrong neighborhood, you better be a fast runner. Or you're going to pay. You are going to pay, right? Here, I walk to Phoenix, nothing happens to me. In Chicago, you can't do that. You got the wrong colors, you better watch out, right? But God took away their power. And usually gangs, they have power in groups, right? In numbers. You get them one-on-one, they're a different person, right? God took away their power. He triumphed over them in the cross. So if I told you my story, we include freedom. There was one for me. Let's look at John chapter 8, 34, 36, and let's read it together. I read the fine print. Jesus replied, I tell you, everyone that sins. Now a slave has in the family, but a son. So if you will be free indeed. Amen? Amen. God, Jesus is the truth. Like Jelena always tells me, the truth will set you free. Right? That's one of the favorite things for her to tell me. The truth will set you free. Right? And we are free. We're sinners. Right? And we remain sinners. We're slave to sin. But when we come to Christ, right, we are set free. Says there's no permanent place for a slave. Right? You think about slavery, you know, it was just a piece of property that you could say, okay, you take them now. Oh, you give me this and that. You could exchange it, right? But a son and daughter, that's a whole different relationship, right? So we're sons and daughters of God. And it says we belong to him forever. Right? There's nothing we can do to change who our parents are. Can we? Say, oh, I want new parents. I know our kids probably think about that sometimes. I wish we had better parents. Parents that will let us do whatever we want. Or parents that let me do this or don't let me do that. Right? But in my mind, I've never thought about saying, you know, I wish I had better kids. I wish my kids would. I never thought that. You know why? I would love them too much to say that. Right? No matter if we don't agree on certain things, we don't see eye to eye, I would never say that. I say, I wish I had. Let's trade these in. We kid around with Joseph sometimes, but it's just kidding, you know? We would never do that because of what? Love. They're our children. We are God's children. You think he's going to let you perish? He does not want us to perish, does he? He's patient. He's waiting for us. Amen? To make a choice. In 2016, this should be our story. We're free. I'm sure that when those slaves were set free, they didn't go, okay, guys, we're free, huh? Nice, let's walk. Man, I don't know, but I'm just imagining what could have happened. I mean, they ran. I'm sure they ran. We're free! Yes, I am free. Man, oh man, this feels good out here. I can breathe again, right? When you come to Christ and you're set free, that's how you feel, right? You're like, wow, this is awesome. The world can't provide that, but Christ can. Amen? We are free. If I told you my story, it would include life that overcame the grave. In Mark 16, 4 through 6, let's read that. But when they saw the stone, which was very large, as they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, you are the Nazarene who was crucified. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Is he still in the grave? He is risen. The stone was rolled away. They saw it with their own eyes, right? Jesus was not there. They came looking for him, but he had risen. That should be our message. We serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead person. Right? All these religions that have, you know, their leaders, they're still in the grave, right? They didn't walk around and nobody saw them. They're still dead, right? But Jesus is risen. We can tell people how Jesus overcame the grave. Because as you get older and mature, I don't know about you guys, but you start thinking about, when will this end? When will this life end? I know young people don't think about it because, you know, when I was young, I was like, who cares? But as you get older, you start realizing, man, where is it going to be the finish line? Right? I'm going to be 55 this year, I'll admit to that, August 15th. And, you know, we like to go for breakfast. I love breakfast, so we go to IHOP, and there's a part of the menu that says 55 plus. Right? So I kid Jalen, I say, man, we get to 55 plus, we're going to get some good deals, right? Senior citizen discount. But I tell her, you know, kidding around, I'm going to be 28, so I got a long way to go before I get to that point. But 55 plus, right? I'm going to be 55. Is that just my story? You know, I was born in Puerto Rico. I went through all this stuff. No, this should be my story, right? I should be telling people that Jesus overcame the grave. Amen? And if you die in Christ, what's going to happen? You will rise again. Amen? At Jesus' second coming. Because, you know, the enemy is very astute. He uses that, right? He says, well, you know, when you die, you know, you go straight to heaven. Well, yeah, that would be nice, but I know if that was the case, there'd be a lot of miserable people in heaven looking down and saying, well, look at my son. He's suffering. I can't help him. No, I can't help him. You just got to stand there and look at him and observe and watch and hope everything goes well. But we know the state of the dead is something that the enemy attacks, right? Even in cartoons, I remember that, you know, Casper the Ghost, right? Who was Casper the Ghost? Friendly ghost, though. He was nice. But still, he was a ghost, right? But the stone has been rolled away. So if I told you my story, we include grace that is greater than all sin. We talked about, you know, where sinners make it to heaven? By God's grace, right? Will I be able to do this? By God's grace, I will. Amen? So let's read Romans 5, 20 and 21. The law was added, but where sin increased, so that just as sin reigned, so also grace might reign through righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Grace. Yeah, I'm just too bad of a sinner, man. I'm just a constant sinner. I'm constantly sinning. Well, as your sin goes up, grace goes up. Right? Says it right there. Grace increased all the more. There's no one who ever lived and will live who cannot be reached by grace. I know there's serial killers out there that, you know, when they got into jail, they became converted and they gave their heart to Christ. And people say, well, he killed 50 people. Innocent men, children, women. Why would that person make it? The same reason we make it, right? By grace. Something that's unmerited, right? You don't deserve it. People can give you mercy. You go before a judge, come on. This is my first ticket. You know, look at my record. Okay, since this is your first ticket, I'm going to give you some mercy. I'm just going to let you go with a warning. Or I'm going to give you a lower fine, whatever the case may be. But nobody can give you grace. Only Christ can give you grace. What we don't deserve. Because he received what we deserved. Right? We should have been crucified. We should have died on that cross. But he took our sin. He said, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Man, I don't know, but, you know, that's why it's so important for us to spend some time thinking and reflecting, even the young people, right? Because this world gets you so busy that you don't have time, right? You say, I don't have time. I can't have time to sit down and study God's word. I don't have time. I don't have time to really do an in-depth study because, you know, I got other things to do, right? But the enemy is very astute. He knows the time, and that's why God created the Sabbath, right? Special day. Like Daniel said, you know, no, this is my Sabbath. It's a day. I always tell people, you know, hey, my mom died, but if my mom was coming and I hadn't seen her for 5 years, you think I'm going to say, you know what? No, I think I'm just going to go play basketball instead of meeting my mom. You think I'm going to do that? Or would you do that? No, I'm going to be waiting by the window like Jelena used to wait for me when we were going out, by the window. She doesn't wait by the window anymore, but. She used to wait by the window, and I used to look up, oh, that's Yelena. Hey, I love her. But I'd be waiting by the window. I'd be like, where's mom coming? All right. She's here. The Sabbath is the same way. The Sabbath should be a delight. Because it's a day that God set aside for us to spend time, intimate time together. Amen? I mean, not that he doesn't spend time with us every single day. But you know, he is the creator, right? And a creator creates. A painter paints. You know, we have problems in our middle school with kids tagging. And when I catch them, they're like, well, I only wrote it once. I said, no way. Taggers tag. So if you tag your notebook, that means you tag somewhere else. That's what you do. You're a tagger, you tag everything. You're a creator, you create, right? You're constantly creating. But God, on the Sabbath, takes time off, right? To spend it with us. See, I want to spend it with my children. Right, special day, special time, quality time, amen? Tell people about the grace, God's grace, amen? So if I told you my story, I would include when justice was served. Let's read Matthew 12, 18. Here is my servant, the one in whom I will put, and he will. Again, we studied this week about the crisis in heaven, right? One of the things that the enemy was saying, Lucifer was saying, you know what? This God, he's not a just God. His justice is not perfect. There's something wrong with him. He doesn't want to let me do what I want to do. He wants to control me, right? And some people feel that way. God wants to control me. He's got those 10 commandments to say no, 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 no. He wants to control me, right? So, no, I can't do that. I want freedom, right? I want freedom. Okay, but freedom doesn't mean that you do whatever you want, right? Because if my kids wanted to play in the freeway, I would say this. They say, hey, let's play catch in the freeway. Let's pretend I'm the quarterback and you're the receiver. You go out for a pass in the freeway. I am going to say what? No way, Jose. You ain't going to go play in the freeway. In their mind, they're going to think, wait a minute, Jose, Dad, you know, not going to be Jose, but Dad, that's not fair. You're controlling us. Yes, I am. But what's the motive? Love, right? Because I love you, I don't want you playing in the freeway, right? If I didn't love you, I'd say, go ahead, play in the freeway. Have a good time. Not a problem. But Jesus came to provide justice. Because the consequence of sin is what? Death, right? It would not be justice if nobody died. Adam and Eve sin, and we say, God says, you know what? Ah, it's okay. Let's start over. Right? Justice would be somebody has to pay. There has to be a consequence, right? In this world, do we have justice in this world? What do you guys think? Do we have justice? Sometimes. We have some measure of justice, right? But we don't have complete, perfect justice. Because God knows the heart. Man does not. Man just judges you by your actions. Right? Now, there are many times, you guys don't probably know this, but Jelani's a great cook, right? People who, and sometimes they say, well, I want to help her. You know, I want to help her because, you know, she does a lot. Somebody helping her, boom, boom, boom. And she's like, that's not what I wanted. That's not where I wanted that stuff. I say, well, I'm trying to help. Yeah, but that's not where I want it over here. I got a certain system going on. I say, okay, well, my motives were good, but the outcome wasn't very good. Right? So people judge you by your actions. She judged me by my actions. She said, you did the wrong thing. But God judges the heart because he knows the beginning to the what? Yes. To the end. There's nothing hidden under the heavens that God doesn't know. It doesn't matter where you go. We had an older brother who would say, you know what? I'm going to go in the closet. It was a Sabbath. And then it'll be dark. So the Sabbath will be over. Then I can do what I want. Right? I was like, no. The Sabbath is not over just because you're in the closet and it's dark, right? God knows the heart. His heart was not in the right place, right? But that's the way he thought. If I'm in the dark, then Sabbath is over. But he was chosen. You know, when we think about chosen, Jesus being chosen, it's not that right now. If somebody says, hey, Jose, would you volunteer to die for all this? People that are ungrateful and they hate you and they want to kill you? You think I would do that? Are you crazy? I ain't going to die for these people that are ungrateful and they're constantly, you know, trying to hit me and kill me. I ain't going to do that. I'm not. But if you tell me, would you die for your family? I say, yeah, I would die for my family. I would. Right? Because of love, right? Because I love my family, I say, I'll die. I mean, I'm going to be happy with it, but I'll die. Before the earth was formed, we know God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son got together, right? It wasn't like, you know, last minute. Like, I don't like last minute stuff. It wasn't last minute. Oh, man, they sinned. Whoa, what do we do now? Right? What do we do now, guys? No, it was already predetermined, right? It was a plan. When they do sin, this is what's going to happen. And Jesus said, yeah, I will die. I'll die for them. That makes more sense than you dying, God. Because the accusations are on you. The controversy, right? Say, just God the Father is not a just God. And those of us who have children know that we'd rather suffer than our children suffer. We know that, right? So I know right now I've developed some asthma. And I can understand why my son Joseph went through, because he had asthma since he was little. So we get those breathing treatments, the hormones in there, all that to try to, and he's doing better now, but now I'm the one that has it. All this time I say, man, let him just breathe. So give it to me, Lord. Be careful what you ask for, right? Because now I got it. So I got to be inhaling and doing all kind of stuff. And I said, now I know how Joseph felt, man. Oh, man, he went through a lot. But for your children, you do anything, right? You sacrifice. And, you know, young people don't understand. I didn't understand it when I was growing up, that my mom loved me that much, because my mom used to punish us like no tomorrow, right? She would get the grater. I know you guys know what a grater is. Used to grate cheese. She would put us a kneel on that for 30 minutes. You try that. When you go home tonight, if you got a grater, go ahead and try it for 2 minutes. See how much pain that is. And you would be there like, oh, sorry, mom, I'm sorry. No, you're going to be there for 30 minutes. Oh, I hate my mom. She hates me. I hate her. But as I grew older, I understood. Oh, mom, yeah, she loved me. She wanted to save me. Save me from all my friends that used to do whatever they wanted to do out in the streets. She wanted to save me, and she used every measure she could understand to help me understand that. And that's a comfort that I take, because my children don't understand what I do. Sometimes they're like, ah, Dad, he's mean. He's super mean. But someday when they grow up and they mature enough, they'll understand. They go like, oh, man, Dad did that. I can't believe he did that. So I tell people, I went to a doctor. The doctor asked me, hey, you want to retire soon? I said, yeah, I would. But I worked 8 years in Chicago. I pulled out my pension, that money, took a big, you know, penalty, and used that money for us to move over here, right? So I lost 8 years of work, right? I would be 2 years away from retirement right now, right? But now I'm not. About 10 years away from retirement. But we did that for our kids. Jelena did the same thing. We did that for our kids, right? We sacrificed for them because we want to give them a better life, right? And like Joe says, Chirac, they call Chicago now Chirac. Because there's so many shootings going on, people dying left and right, and we wanted to take them out of that. We wanted to give them a better environment for them. If I told you my story, it would include mercy, when mercy wins. So let's read James 2, 12 and 13. Speak as those who, by the law that gives, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful over judgment. So we're to speak and act with that in mind, right? We are going to be judged individually. We're not going to be getting to heaven as a group, right? So I heard somebody say, the remnant. Yeah, the remnant. The remnant was chosen for a special purpose, right? And we believe that Seventh-day Adventist has been chosen for a special purpose to proclaim the three angels' message, right? But I always say, and I'll continue to say it, that within a remnant, there is a remnant. There is. Within the remnant, there's a remnant. When the Israelites were in the desert, they made that golden calf. Anybody was worshiping it, right? Not everybody was worshiping that golden calf, right? Were they? Who's not worshiping the golden calf? The what? The Levites, thank you. The Levites say, no, I don't care. I don't care if the whole community is doing it. We're not going to bow down. We're not. And that's why the Levites were chosen for what? The priests. Say, you guys are going to be the priests. Because you guys have demonstrated that you are faithful. Right? Now, all of Israel was a remnant. But only the Levites were faithful. And that's why they were chosen for special work, right? So in the end, within the remnant, there is a remnant. God's people are always there. Small group, but they're there, right? How does the law give freedom? You know, I always tell the story, not always, but sometimes, of the experiment that they did. Does your school have a fence around it? Yeah. Okay. Anybody have a school that does not have a fence? Okay, so they did an experiment. So let's take out the fence. Let's take out the fence from the school and see what happens. And the kids went out for recess playing around. Oh, no fence. Uh-oh. That's danger. So what they found out is the school they had no fence, The kids would stay close to the school because they were afraid something's going to happen to us. There's no fence. Where the school, they had a fence. The kids would go all the way up to the fence. Hey, look at this fence. Woo! This is a pretty sturdy fence. Let's play tag, right? So even though the law in people's minds is restrictive, it's actually freedom, right? It frees us because we know exactly what was expected of us, right? This is what you do. This is what don't you do. You know, I help teachers improve their craft. And when teachers don't set boundaries or expectations, that's the worst thing they can do. Okay, guys, do whatever you want. Uh-oh, trouble, right? They have rules, right? They have expectations. You cannot talk. You got to raise your hand, right? And kids feel more secure in that setting because they have freedom. Even though there's rules, they know what they're expected to do. Everybody here, every human being wants to know what is expected of them. They do, right? How far can I go? How fast can I go? 140? Can't go 140. You're going to go 65. Oh, okay. Now I know, right? Imagine if there was no speed limit. I went to visit Jelena's from Ecuador. We went to visit in Ecuador a couple of times, and there is no speed limit. How do you know how fast to go? You go as fast as you want, okay? I'll be trying to go 140 myself. And the amazing thing is we didn't see too many accidents, right? There weren't too many accidents. So how does that happen? People adjust, right? People adjust. Say, I can only go this far, because this fast, because if I go faster, I'm going to crash. I won't be able to stop. There were no stop signs except at the corners. It's like, should I go? Should eye contact. Okay, you go, I go. It was pretty confusing, but this law gives us freedom. But mercy wins. Amen? Mercy does win. If I told you my story, we include the kindness Jesus draws us in. So let's read Jeremiah 31. We studied Jeremiah last quarter. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with? I have with loving kindness. Right? He loves us with an everlasting love. Where can you get that? Everlasting love? People are constantly breaking up, right? Divorce rates are who knows where. People are constantly breaking up because it's not everlasting love. It's not the agape love, right? It's not the love that should be. It's just, oh, she looks beautiful. All right, I'm in love. Oh, he's a handsome guy. Look at how much he can bench press. Oh, he's strong. Okay, I love that, right? But God loves us with an everlasting love. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can do for God not to love you. Nothing. You name it. You kill 1,000 people, God still loves you. Right? God's love is everlasting. He draws us. What draws us to Jesus? His goodness, right? His kindness. How could Jesus let me do that? Man, he could have just, boop, sat me, right? But he didn't. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he draws us with loving kindness. If I told you my story, it would include praising my Savior all day long. I love the tongue and song talking about praising God, right? So let's read Revelation 5, 12, 13. In a loud voice, they sang, who was slain to receive and 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 then I heard in heaven and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing and to the Lamb and forever and ever. Amen? Amen. You know, it's interesting that when you have children pray, Gabby, I love Gabby's prayer, Gabby Gates, because she's always like the one prayer she was and or she was giving us options, right? So when you have a child pray, it's just genuine, right? It's who they are. They're not putting up fronts, they're not putting on masks, right? It's who they are. But worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Who is that? Jesus, right? He's worthy to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. And every creature, how many? Every creature on earth, every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the sea and on the sea, and all in them singing praise and honor and power forever and ever. You know, I from time to time, I read The Great Controversy, Andrew White's Great Controversy. From time to time, I read it. And he talks about in the last chapter that the second resurrection after 1,000 years, when Jesus comes back, all the wicked are going to say and give praise to God. And you know why that's going to happen? Why do you think that's going to happen? Because when something is true, it's true. Right? There's no way around it. Right? Like I admit I'm a stubborn person. I am. Jelena will tell you I'm the most stubborn person in the world, but I am stubborn, you know. I stick to things and I say, this is the way it's going to be. But you know what? Even that stubbornness, God can use for good. Right? Even our bad qualities, God can turn that. Like it says in the Bible, what they meant for evil, God meant for what? Good. But it says here that the great controversy ended. The last chapter says, every eye in that vast multitude is turned to behold the glory of the Son of God. With one voice, the wicked host exclaimed, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Even the wicked, they're going to have no choice but to say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. So, 2016, guys, what's going to be your story? Because if it's just your earthly story, you know, what you've gone through and all that, it's not going to be enough, right? You got to tell them about God's grace, right? By his mercy, by his justice, how he is a just God. Amen? You got to tell them all these things. Those should be your, that should be your story. Because if it's not your story, right? If it's not your story, then everything has been in vain. Like the Bible says, you know, all this is in vain. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, all this is in vain. Let's go out and party, guys. Let's have a good time because time is running out. The clock is running, right? Now, that's a picture of my sister Liz and I singing in church way, way, way long time ago. Many moons ago. And I know most of you guys have heard her sing. Someday soon, I hope, you know, we'll be able to sing together, right? Again. But my biggest hope is that someday soon, when Jesus comes, we'll be able to sing in heaven. Because I know my voice is going to be perfect up there. And I can tell you, I got asthma, I got problems. I can't sing the way I used to. I sing a little bit better before, but in heaven, everything's going to be perfect. Every note's going to be perfect, right? Everything's going to be heard like angels. Okay. There's one more slide up there. There you go. So if we told our story, would it include? Would it? That's a personal question for you guys to think about and reflect on. If you told your story in 2016, would your story include Christ? My prayer is that it does. May God bless you today.